Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
What we need is servant leaders. That's kind of an oxymoron, that servant leader kind of thing. By the way, Dr. Wooster, my mentor, now in heaven, told us time and time again to the preacher boys, the crowd will part for the man who stands for God. And that standing for God, that's what I'm preaching about this morning. Being a servant leader, not another general. There's too many chiefs and not enough Indians. I know that's not politically correct, but that's the way it is in the family of God. We need servant leaders. Those two words seem to go against one another. It's like, how many remember when we had a hockey, men's hockey program here at Fundamental Baptist Church? Raise your hand if you're here. Okay, there's a bunch of us. There's several of us. See, why don't you do that anymore? We all got old and we're a little bit proud and had enough of an ego that we didn't like 22-year-old guys taking the puck away from us whenever we wanted. So we just kind of drifted away. But some of us had jackets that actually said Baptist Hockey on the back. And I remember a man coming up to me, seeing me in a department store and saying, Baptist Hockey. That's kind of an oxymoron, isn't that? And I looked at him and said, what did you call me? Oxymoron is something that they seemingly contradict. That's servant leader. Servant leader. Man, what do you mean by that? Well, let me tell you what Jesus meant by it. Turn to John and chapter 13. Gospel of John and chapter 13. Jehovah God, the very Son of God, Creator, visited this earth, provided redemption, the plan of salvation, so that all of the peoples of this earth can go to heaven. His name is Jesus. He planted his church. He birthed his church and builds his church. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He went on back home to heaven, ascended to the right hand of the throne of God. And he left his church here to do the work of God. And all too often we try to do the work of God the way the world tells us to do the work of God. And Jesus says here in this passage in John in chapter 13, that is exactly backwards. That is backwards. That's what the unsaved do. That's what the Gentiles do. And by that he meant unsaved. But in the family of God, you become a servant leader. I was thinking about this. I've been thinking about it all week. There's a lot of different ways of going at this. And I even thought about this. This occurred to me just yesterday. Servant leader, it's Christ's church. He's the head of the church. There are two offices in the church. What did he call those offices? The pastor is the shepherd. The shepherd doesn't drive the sheep. The shepherd leads the sheep. The other office he called deacons, doulos. That's the word slave. The under rower in the ship that doesn't see the light of day. No praise of man. No position of power. They're rowing. They're the under rowers. And here it is, Christ's church. And he not only gives us this teaching in John in chapter 13 through chapter 17, and it really is just the week of the events of the Last Supper, and all kinds of details are given in these chapters 13 through 17 that aren't given in the other Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And there's great detail here. And here it is, Christ's church. And he said, now the servant leaders in the church, I'm going to call them shepherds and slaves. And it's my church. John in chapter 13. By the way, if you think you're going to become a preacher one day and you're going to make a lot of money and you're going to be real popular, I guarantee you, you're not going to be a Bible preacher and you're not going to be a pastor of an independent Baptist church. You'll be in some denominational church and you might be able to make some money there, but you want to be God's man. You remember that. In chapter 13, it says, now before the feast of the Passover, It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, he knew who he was and he knew why he came. He came to provide salvation for a broken people. He understood that. Oh, the weight on Jesus' shoulders these days to come. He said, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own. I underlined that in my Bible. There's the heart of the Savior. He loves his people. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end, to the fullest. And supper being ended, it's the Last Supper, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Verse 3, we have a living parable, a lesson in humility that we would all do well to take heart, take note concerning. Here's where I struggled. Jesus is going to wash the disciples' feet. He doesn't tell them it's an ordinance of the church. It's a great, vivid lesson. He says later in the passage, we'll read it in a moment, you don't understand what I'm doing right now, but you will later. You'll remember back to the day I washed your feet. I thought, man, how can I put that in words? Dr. James Morgenroth, another one of my mentors, one of the founders of the Baptist Pioneer Mission Agency, he's now in heaven, mission director at the Bible college that I went to, preached a sermon, Faith Baptist Church of Pembine. I remember it with details because it wasn't a normal sermon. He didn't do a lot of preaching verbally. He brought to the platform a basin of water and had a little old man come forward from the congregation. And he took off his coat and set the water in front of the man and took off his shoes. Took off his socks, put a towel around his waist, and got on his knees at the foot of that old man and washed his feet and then wiped the feet with the towel that he had around his waist. There were tears. The people that saw that message that day, most of them were pretty mature in the Lord. What spoke volumes. I thought about doing that this morning, but with one of these guys, but I'm not going to touch their nasty feet. No way. Oh, man. And I don't want it to be a show. Now, listen to what I'm going to read right out of the scriptures, right out of Holy Writ. Jesus has his disciples. These next several chapters, he's going to give them final instructions. He's going to vividly display before them what a servant leader is. Verse 3 says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. Make no mistake about it, Jesus Christ is the very Son of God. He is deity. Now put that in your mind while we're reading this story. This is if God, Jehovah, from eternity, comes and visits this little earth. And there's some men here that he has ordained. And their feet are dirty and dusty. And he gets up when they're through eating from the table. And he takes off his outer garment, his robe, lays it aside, and puts on the robe of a servant. And he gets down on his hands and knees in front of the disciples and washes their feet. Let's read. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. By the way, the job of a servant leader is laborsome. You toil. It's not a padded cross that we're to take up. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. You know, they were looking at one another. Man, what's going on? And to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And this is what this is all about. Servant leaders. You know, there were times in Peter's ministry where he was rejected by man, where things weren't going right, where he'd wake up with a headache. We had no place to sleep that night. Maybe a day he never had as much food as he would have liked to have had. Misunderstandings, many. People talking about him behind his back on a regular basis. And he would think about quitting. You know, why do I even put up with these people? Why am I wasting my time here? And he remembered the master. Down on his knees, washing Peter's feet. Servant leader. Verse 7, Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet, Jesus. Peter was aghast. Said, you're not going to wash my feet. I'll not allow you to be humiliated. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. You'll never be used of God. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit or completely, and ye are clean, but not all. There's a great picture here. You get born again, you don't need to get born again again. Man, you don't need a complete cleansing. But you walk the dusty roads of this world. They had sandals on in that day. You walk the paths of this world and you cannot help but be tainted by sin. You get your feet all dirty. So the ceremonial washing had already been taking place, and that's the picture here. It says, you don't need to be washed everywhere. You're my child. You're born again. But 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins if we'll just ask for forgiveness, if we confess our sins. So on a regular basis, Peter, those feet need to be washed. Let's read on. Verse 11. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy or blessed are ye if ye do them. Servant leaders, I'd like to take just a few moments and answer a few questions about being a servant leader. By the way, some of heaven's greatest heroes, you will never hear their name here on this earth. They are people behind the scenes. They are the doers, the prayers, the cleaners, the encouragers, the builders. They're servant leaders. I'm told that Israel's kings in the Old Testament led the armies into battle. They didn't sit back in a safe place and direct the battle. They were up front, like the Israeli generals are even yet to this day. There is a pattern that God gives us in the Bible. You don't just step up and be a big shot. We don't need any of those in the family of God. We don't need people that carry a big stick and whip the flock into shape. We don't need people to run things. We need servant leaders, people who will lead from the front, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Stay true even if you stand alone. Don't worry about traveling in a pack. Don't worry about what your peers are doing. If you're going to be called of God to be a servant leader, then you just do the right thing, whether everyone else is doing it or not. You lead from the front. You lead from the bottom. Luke and chapter 9 and verse 23. Lift up our cross daily and follow Christ. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. We are to be not only a cross bearer, but a burden bearer. Bearing other men's burdens. That is a servant leader. A servant leader is not a position of convenience. That's not how it works. Your phone is going to ring all the time. People are going to be in need of big things and little things and things that at the time you think don't make a hill of beans a difference, but you got to listen to them anyway, and you try to be a blessing to them and give them direction, because right now that's a mountain in their life. And you got people over here that are on their deathbed and in everything in between. And I'm not just talking about the preachers. I'm talking about servant leaders all over the church family of Fundamental Baptist Church. We need to lead from the bottom. We need to bear one another's burdens. That's not a popular thing. There are a lot of people, they don't want to do that. Give me a 9-to-5 job. I'll work 40 hours a week. And if I go an hour, a moment past, I better get some overtime. That's not a servant leader. Now, I understand you may have a job like that. But as far as your walk with God, man, you're a servant leader. You lead from the front. Someone has got to break ranks and be out front. And here's what's going to happen. I told the young people this just this last week. Other people will follow you. Other people who weren't as bold as you, they'll be encouraged by you, and they will follow you. Someone's got to bear the colors. And you lead from the bottom. You carry them if you have to. You're there for them. And you lead without applause. Look at Matthew chapter 6. You're in the Gospels. Just go back a few books to Matthew and chapter 6. A servant leader doesn't need a title, doesn't need applause, doesn't need people gushing over them and telling them how great they are. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, take heed. Jesus said, take heed. Take heed that you do not your alms before men, your righteous acts before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. This is motivation, is what he's talking about here. If what you do for God, you do to impress people, you didn't do it for God. No reward in heaven. If you only do something for God when people see you and they're going to be gushing over you, you're not doing it for God. I'm glad you're sweating. No reward in heaven, though. Yeah, just the way it is. Jesus said that. If you do your acts, your righteous acts before men to be seen of them, enjoy the blessing. You got nothing waiting in heaven over what you just did. If you write a check and you do something good for the cause of Christ, but you do it so other people will know how big you really are on the inside, forget, man, you may get some praise down here. That's called Phariseeism. You love the praise of men, but you don't do it for God. You lead without applause. A servant leader leads from the front, leads from the bottom, and leads without applause. The need for servant leaders, it's everywhere. Let me make some statements. The crowd, the culture, the world, whatever word you want to use. The crowd does not determine the servant leader's direction or doctrine. That's not where we get Bible doctrine. So if everybody in the world is going against the Bible, the servant leader, and sometimes he's called of God to do this, or she's called of God to do this, stands alone, willing to do it. One time, we had a coaching clinic down in Perry, Ohio. Steve, were you involved in that? Do you remember going to that? Perry, Ohio. We went down there and took the coaching staff, and I handpicked two players off of the team to go with us. I didn't know that was illegal at the time, all right? They went with us. It was in the month of June, I think. It was the summertime. We went down there to Perry, Ohio, and they ran the double wing offense, and we were going to learn. We were just getting introduced to them. We're going to learn all about it. And these two young men were with me, and they're seniors, and I knew they had potential as far as being leaders, and they loved football. And I thought, man, they can learn right along with us. And I remember we were coming down coming down Main Street on the way out of town. Perry, Ohio is a good-sized town, good-sized city. We're coming down Main Street, and that was the time when all the young men started to wear that thing called the sag. You know what I'm talking about, where the pants are down, you know, and it was cool. And some men plus 60 do that quite often, but for different reasons, all right? I would encourage you, on behalf of everybody else in the world or your vicinity, buy a pair of suspenders. Would you do that, all right? But they had their underwear, their boxers hanging out, and their sags, and they're city people, city guys, you know? And I remember them, and I was shocked. They rolled down the window, and one of them yelled out, and I'd give you his name, but both of them still live right here. Both of them are hardworking men now in the area, so I'm not going to do that. They rolled down the window, and if they hear the radio broadcast, they'll remember this. Rolled down the window, and one of them yelled out with great power, "Hey, pull up your pants!" You know, and he's a country boy. And I looked over at him, and I said, "Jeremy, you are now captain of the football team." You know, just taking a stand. I used his first name, didn't I? Yeah. All right. The crowd, the culture for the servant leader, this is for the Bible man, the Bible woman, does not determine doctrine, no matter how smooth they are in presenting it, does not determine direction. The culture, understand this, for the servant leader is never going to be your friend. Never. Satan desires to sift you like wheat. He is not your friend. For the servant leader, comfort is to never be the goal. A servant leader is a person who cares less about what they look like and more about who they are. Servant leaders are special. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew and chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. I close with just a few verses here on how to be a servant leader. Remember Jesus. They're wondering, what in the world is he doing? Takes off his outer cloak, lays it down. By the way, the job of washing guests' feet in a household was the job of the lowest servant in the household. It was menial. Jesus said, "You don't understand what I'm doing now, but you will later. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first." And he put on the clothing of the lowest servant, got a basin of water, went and brought water over to the basin, poured it in the basin, and then he got down on his hands and knees, and he took off the sandals and he began to wash their feet. I remember when Dr. Morgenroth was doing that, I thought, boy, that'd be humiliating. Because feet aren't nice. And the Creator washed the disciples' feet. Say, how do I be a servant leader? Number one, don't look for promotion. Promotion comes from God. It's not like in the world where you work things out. You impress the boss. That's not how it works. Not in the family of God. Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Verse 37, "Jesus saith unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind." It's all about God. This is the first and great commandment. We're to love God. Listen, teenager, it's supposed to be Jesus first. Nothing else is a close second. Nothing even comes close. Nothing. Only God. If you're going to be used of God, you love the Lord God with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your heart. Verse 39, "And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." All your priorities will be made right. All your problems will melt away if you love God first, foremost, and forever. And then second place is your neighbor. I'm not even mentioned there from my perspective. A servant leader is someone who serves and leads. And they both go together. It's not one without the other. Larry Nagengast, who was here last week, he sent me up a book he allowed me to read. He said, read this first page of this chapter. And I read it. And it was very convicting. I asked him where he got it. He said, I'll send you a copy. And here was what the thought was. I can't quote it, but here's the thought. Do you know that it is possible to sing in the choir and not love God? Do you know it's possible to be a teacher and not love God? You know it's possible to dress right, wear modest clothing, comb your hair right, carry the right Bible, and not love God? The last line, it's possible to preach a homiletically, doctrinally correct sermon and not love God. And anything less than loving God is Phariseeism. You can compare yourself with the person right next to you in the pew or what the world has to offer, but you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. By the way, a servant leader doesn't let things get in the way of God. You find a way. Find a way to be faithful. Find a way to get to church. You find a way to read your Bible. You find a way to put your arm around someone that's in need. You find a way. Things get busy. I got a phone call for a hospital visit in St. Ignace. I was already just north of 48 down there. And I got a second phone call concerning somebody else, and that one sounded like it might be more important, and I found out that Bill was headed to the other one, so I turned around and went the other direction, and it was all of God. I felt funny about, well, you know, maybe I should follow through with St. Ignace first. I'm glad I went the other direction. I don't know how it turned out, but according to the guy up there, you know, he could be leaving at any moment to go to another hospital. It was of God. It wasn't convenient. It was an extra 50 miles. Nothing convenient about that at all, but a servant leader is someone who does the right thing, no matter what. You know, I preached long this morning. I didn't follow a good outline in the scripture. I just kind of shared my heart. I was afraid this was going to happen. I didn't know how it was going to end, how it would really turn out. But picture Jesus here this morning. Say you're there at the Last Supper. Everyone is eaten. Now the Savior stands up. The Master, God, in the flesh. What a wonderful Savior. Takes off his outer garment and puts on the garment of a servant. And he gets down on his hands and knees. And one by one, who knows what was said while it was being done? I don't think anything to Jesus. I think maybe some things were said behind. I don't know. And he works his way around the room, washing the feet of the disciples. Fellas, you don't understand what this is about today, but you will later. It's 2017. The need for servant leaders is greater than ever. We need to be a church that develops a love for God and a love for people, and we continue to develop it. People come in this church house, people ought to fall all over them as far as loving on them, letting them know that we're glad that you're here, that we're no different than you are. Let us tell you about our Master, about our Savior, and what a good God He is. What a Savior.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.